While we may be small in number, there's a lot of good that's being done by a lot of people. And that is so important. When Paul wrote his letter to the church at Ephesus, he closes that letter with some very encouraging words. His farewell to the church there in this letter. You know, as we've been studying on Sunday morning, he had a lot to say to the Christians there. But he finishes this personal letter with a fond farewell. And we're going to look at those closing remarks, and then we're going to focus on some of the main themes that he said that he wrote in this wonderful book. First, the farewell. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 21, Paul writes, "But you also may know my affairs and how I'm doing. Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." Paul was sending Tychicus to them to give a first-hand report. A first-hand report of how Paul was doing, because no doubt the church at Ephesus was concerned about Paul. Paul meant a lot to them, and they meant a lot to Paul, so they wanted to know how Paul was doing. A very touching account is given to us in Acts chapter 20 about Paul's final scene with the elders from Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, the last three verses of that chapter describes that scene that Paul has with the elders at Ephesus and how touching it is. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 36, describes that scene for us. "And when he," talking about Paul, "had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship." They were sad. They were sad. Tychicus would comfort their hearts, rid them of the fears they may have had about Paul's condition. He's called a beloved brother. He's called a faithful minister in the Lord. Paul obviously had a very high opinion of him. He's also the one that took the letter from Colossae to the church at Colossae. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, Paul writes this about Tychicus. Verse 7, "Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here." So he was to be a messenger of Paul's letter. Paul closes with a wish for peace to them. He prays that they would experience peace. And how necessary that is to a Christian. Now, we're not going to have peace in the world. Remember some of Jesus' remarks in the upper room in John chapter 16, verse 33? "In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good comfort. I have overcome the world. In me you will have peace." No, you're not going to have it in the world. The world wants you to have everything but peace. So Paul says, "Peace to the brethren there, and love with faith." Notice how those two are linked together. "And love with faith." And he desires that grace be given to them, to all who love the Lord in sincerity. You know, a lot of people claim to love the Lord, but they're not sincere about it. Paul prays that the Christians there in Ephesus would be the recipients of God's grace because they really loved the Lord sincerely. And that's how he closes this marvelous letter to them. As I mentioned, the very first morning that we started this series of lessons from this book, that one of the key phrases in all of this letter that Paul mentions over and over and over again is all that Christians receive by being in Christ, in the Lord, in the body, in the church. That phrase is used over and over and over again. And that's how he begins the letter. In Ephesians chapter 1, the very beginning, Paul says in verse 3, right after the greeting where he greets the saints in Ephesus, he says to them in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." There is that theme. God has chosen to bless Christians in Christ. That's where all spiritual blessings are. Not 90% of them or 95%, but every single spiritual blessing is found in Christ. And then, of course, in verse 4 and following, he talks about many of those blessings. He talks about forgiveness. Where's forgiveness of sins found? In Christ. Where's redemption found? In Christ. Where's reconciliation found? In Christ. And on and on and on he lists in the original language one very long sentence about those wonderful blessings that are found in Christ. And it is over and over and over in this marvelous book. We're chosen in Christ. Verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Where are the chosen ones? He says they are in Christ. There's the location. The chosen ones. They're in Christ. God decided in the past, before the foundation of the world, this wasn't an afterthought. This wasn't something he put in place at the last minute, but before the foundation of the world, he decided that the chosen ones would be located where? In Christ. That is their location. In the accepted. Chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in Christ. That's where God chose to bless us. Where? In Christ. God accepts us. Where? In Christ. In the Lord. In His body. No wonder He talks about that throughout the letter. Can you imagine living in the city of Ephesus in the middle of the first century and you receiving this letter from Paul? He begins the letter by praying that God would give them grace and peace. He ends the letter by saying God would give them grace and peace. And between the beginning and the end, he emphasizes over and over and over again all the blessings that you receive by being in the Lord. You're accepted in the Lord. You're chosen in the Lord. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul told the Christians in Thessalonica this, chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. He says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel, for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." He chose you for salvation. How did he do it? By the gospel. Those who choose to believe and obey the gospel are those chosen ones. They have chosen salvation. God didn't force salvation upon them, nor will he ever force salvation upon anyone. It is their choice. The chosen ones, they're in Christ because they chose Christ. They chose to be in Christ. Those are the chosen ones. And now they're accepted in Him, in the Beloved. In chapter 1, verse 7, he mentions, in Him we have redemption through His blood. Redeemed. We're bought with a price. Colossians 1:14 is a sister passage to this. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, he writes, in whom, talking about the Son, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We're bought with a price. What was the price? The blood of Christ. In Acts chapter 20, in that same section where Paul is talking to the elders in Ephesus, he reminds them about the price of the church in verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul says to the elders, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased, which He redeemed, which He bought with His own blood. There's the price of redemption. There's the price that we were bought with. Those who are in Christ are those who are in His church. He just said that. All the people who have had their sins forgiven, who have been redeemed, who were bought with a price, are in His church. There are none outside the church. The church is the location, the sphere of all of those who have chosen to follow Christ and have been redeemed by His blood. And that's what He tells them. They've been forgiven of their sins. They were washed away at baptism, right? Just like Paul's was. Paul was told, Acts 22:16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and do what? Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. There's what calling on the name of the Lord's about. He tells us. So the location of forgiveness is in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, he ends that chapter by saying, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. We're forgiven in Christ. There's a location. You can't have forgiveness any other place. It's only found in Christ. Our inheritance that we receive, it's because we're in Him. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, another one of those blessings in Him. It says, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. In Him we've obtained an inheritance. This is an eternal inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about this type of inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Peter writes to those Christians who had been dispersed, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Our inheritance, where is it? It's in heaven. And what about it? It is reserved for you. Who are the you? Those who are in Christ. In Him we have obtained an inheritance. There's the location. Those who are in Christ have received an inheritance. How many people receive an inheritance that are outside Christ? None. Only those who are in Christ receive that inheritance. There's the location. And it's found nowhere else. In chapter 2, we find some other blessings for those who are in Christ. Verses 6 and 7 of Ephesians 2 says, God has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Those who are in Christ Jesus. What will they be shown? God's exceeding riches. His exceeding riches. Grace, kindness, mercy. Those will be given to us. Given to us. Who are the us? Again, those who are in Christ. What a marvelous, wonderful gift. And lastly, reconciliation. In chapter 2, beginning in verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who's made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity." Where are we reconciled? In the one body. It is only in Him that we can be reconciled. What did Jesus do by His death on the cross? Reconciled everybody into one body. He talks about the middle wall of separation. And of course, there was a physical wall of separation in the temple where Gentiles were not allowed to pass. Only Jews. He says God, through Christ, has eliminated that, tore it down, broken it down, that middle wall of separation. And now He's made peace through the cross. Nowadays, it makes no difference about someone's racial background, makes no difference what color their skin is, makes no difference whether they're rich or poor, slave or free, male or female, young or old. Those things are not barriers. They're not barriers. Anyone who chooses, it's a choice, anyone who chooses can be in Christ. They can be reconciled. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul wrote, beginning in verse 18, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Where does that take place? He said, in Christ. If we want to get rid of all those type of racial problems in the world, it's very easy. If everybody simply followed the teachings of Christ. If everybody followed the New Testament, those problems would go away. Because country of origin or race or nationality, those things don't mean anything in Christ. That wall of separation has been torn down. So any who choose to can become a member of that great body. As Galatians tells us, and this is how we'll close, he says in Galatians chapter 3, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ," that's how you got there, "have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Male and female, they can be baptized into Christ. Slave or free makes no difference. Jew or Greek makes no difference. Those who are willing to obey Christ, those who believe in Him, if they're willing to repent and confess His name and be immersed, they are placed into Christ where every single one of those blessings we've mentioned are found. Redemption, forgiveness, acceptance, reconciliation, all of those in Christ. And that's the message of this letter. You can find peace, mercy, compassion, all of those things in Christ if you're willing to accept Him, place your faith in Him, and obey Him. The invitation is yours. If you have a need to respond, we encourage you to as we stand and sing this.